Welcome back to the Presidential Transition Edition of the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and my guests today are David Eagles, Director of the Center for Presidential Transition at the Partnership for Public Service, and Dan Chenock, Executive Director of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. With increasing frequency, the problems facing our government require coordinated interagency collaboration. Achieving many of the new administration's priorities will require an enterprise approach to government. David Eagles puts a finer point on the current situation.
You know, in some ways, the silos that we have in government by agency are almost outdated. And you could go to any campaign promise, for example, even on President-elect Trump's campaign. It doesn't matter what the promise is. It's going to touch a dozen plus federal agencies. And we're really not equipped well to be able to execute that way. I mean, it's really interesting how it's hard to push down promises within silos of agencies. And so this is why you've got to think not just about your verticals, so to speak, your vertical silos, but those horizontals that exist all across government.
Here's Dan Chenock on exactly what enterprise government looks like.
So to me, enterprise government really is thinking about government as a supply chain, that not as an org chart. So when you deliver a service, it often goes through multiple agencies. It often goes through multiple parts of an agency. When you develop a policy, there's often multiple interests that have to come together, and those can be brought together in sort of ad hoc committees after the fact, or you can establish an enterprise process to both develop policies and programs and then deliver on those programs. So to me, it's about thinking about how the government operates as an integrated whole with all of its parts. And that can be from I'll call it an inside-out perspective, where agencies are creating governance structures to work together effectively. It can also be, and importantly, powered from an outside-in perspective, helping, because when a citizen interacts with government, they don't know, or they probably don't care which agency is involved. They just want to find the information they're looking for or receive the service that they're receiving. And so understanding the government from the citizen's point of view and establishing enterprise perspectives to bring agencies and programs together, not just federal, but federal, state, and local as well, I think matters a lot in terms of understanding how enterprise government can work in practice. In this administration, there are a number of what are called cross-agency priority goals. And these are significant goals for the president and his senior leaders across the agencies to drive forward working together. One of those goals, for example, is reducing homelessness among our veteran population. And in this case, VA and DOD, working with HUD, actually came together and created enterprise frameworks to develop policies and then deliver on programs and services that achieve this goal. And they actually got significant results in terms of measured reduction in veterans' homelessness. It was a really, really impressive element. Another example in the acquisition space is the use of category management, private sector best practice in terms of acquiring goods especially and common services as well, where agencies don't necessarily buy everything de novo. They come together and they use the scale power of their purchasing to enable purchasing, let's say, of commodities like pencils or cars or services that they might receive in common, ranging from fleet management to even janitorial services. So those don't really matter which agency they're in. It just matters that the agency's getting the service. This is an industry best practice done all over the world by IBM and many other companies. It's something that the government has adopted at the end of this administration and probably will go forward.
Congress plays a significant role and the ability of the executive branch to manage across agencies. What can the next administration do to engage Congress as a partner in creating an integrated enterprise government? Dan Chenock provides some advice.
So it's always helpful, and I found this when I was in my government career as well, to work early with Congress, with staff, with GAO, and with the groups that work with Congress all the time, to bring them in early, show the value of taking a common approach, an enterprise approach, to the programs that they care about. So authorizers and authorizing committees have particular jurisdictions, appropriations committees and staff oversee particular resource pools that relate to the authorized committee's policy areas. The operation of those programs that authorizing committees and appropriations committees care about a lot can actually be enhanced through the development of enterprise platforms so that each program can focus on its unique mission as opposed to having to invent the entire platform from the foundation to the delivery. So if there are common platforms across similar programs, those programs can really focus on, let's say, in the education space, delivery, for example, of educational benefits that are administered by student financial aid at education, educational benefits that are administered by the Department of Veterans Affairs to veterans programs, educational programs that are administered through the Defense Department. They're all about similar content, and the more that common platforms can be used to deliver that content, the agencies can focus on their unique missions.
Appointees from the new administration will want to act quickly on the president's agenda, but they will find out that many of the existing processes for making decisions and getting them to stick can be frustrating. Here's David Eagles.
We've got to figure out how to define success here, right? And so we talk a lot about, you know, using evidence-based reviews as a framework for driving decisions, not only on what needs to be done, but on how to best do it. I mean, these are the types of things that you should be thinking about around decision-making now. And again, the good news is I feel reasonably confident that this incoming team is thinking this way. But again, the next few months are going to be really critical here.
Dan Chenock elaborates on the importance of establishing a formal decision-making process before day one.
Establishing decision processes early can help prevent sort of the rapid reaction, ad hoc type of decision-making that can lead to suboptimal results. So understanding the basics of a decision process. Who needs to be in the chain? Don't have too many people. What are the criteria that are going to be used for a decision? What data are needed to make the decision by the key players? So establishing frameworks like that and making those known to people so they know, you know, all right, we have an issue, we know the process and we know what data we need to bring forward and what the standards are by which the decisions will be judged. Very important. Some of the situations that can apply to, there are a lot of issues where risks are involved. This could be cybersecurity risks or financial risks. And understanding risk management frameworks, especially enterprise risk management, our center has done a number of reports in that area to elucidate that topic, as well as the new requirement under the Government Performance and Results Act Modernization Amendments for long-term strategic planning. Our center just put out a report on the value of quadrennial planning, what can be learned from that process, meaning planning over a four-year time horizon that Defense Department has done, State Department has done, Homeland Security has done, I believe Energy has done. Now every agency has that. And so thinking about that as a decision process where you have decisions about multi-year priorities and what can be learned from agencies that have done that is an important element of how the new administration can succeed.
So why should a new administration focus on a management agenda as soon as possible? David Eagles tells us.
If you believe in government, doesn't matter if you want it to be bigger or smaller, everybody wants it to work well. And this is that time that you have to think through that, right? And so why a management agenda is so important, because a couple things. One, again, your promises will stay promises. That's point number one. Number two is a lot of the things that touch the citizens, for example, like that, those things, we've got to keep those things moving well. That, again, we're touching with campaign promises often just a few percent of the whole government. There's the other 98% that's actually, you know, that impacts most American citizens' lives, right? Those things have to continue running well. And so that's why it's critically important that we transition well so that the first day we know how we're doing. And that's a big part of this.
How can the new administration harness the power of innovation? We'll explore this question and so much more when this Presidential Transition Edition of the Business of Government Hour returns.